The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Zendaya is one of Black Hollywood's wildest dreams. At just 24 years old, the actress has led two successful series on two of the biggest networks in TV land, played the lead in a huge blockbuster Marvel film, a role that up to that point had only ever been portrayed by white women, and become the youngest woman ever to win the Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama. Achieving that this past September, for a decade, we have watched Zendaya Coleman navigate her career from a child star to critical darling with a level of talent, gumption, and style that shows she hasn't just arrived. She is here to stay. Yet, all that being said, perhaps the most striking thing about Zendaya is her ability to remain grounded through it all. The Oakland native is brave enough to speak truth to power and humble enough to know when to lend her spotlight to others. She possesses a level of grace and authenticity that gives you hope for the generation she lights up the way for. After an hour on the phone with the Euphoria star for this interview, it becomes clear she's a manifestation of the hopes and hard work of many of the legends who have graced this magazine's cover before her. Zendaya's awareness and constant intention to pay homage while carrying our legacy forward makes her the perfect star to close out Essence's 50th anniversary year. The first question that Essence asked Zendaya was, first of all, congratulations on your historic Emmy win. What was going through your mind right before they called your name? Zendaya responded, there's a video of me that a family friend took while I was waiting, and you can see my leg shaking. In my head, I was like, dude, just chill out. What will be. I remember taking a deep breath and then hearing my name, and then my family screamed. I was worried that if I kept screaming for too long, I wouldn't have any time to actually say anything, but I didn't want to stop them because they were having a great time. It was a very special night. I will definitely remember that one forever. The next question. I love that you focused your speech on how there is hope in young people. Why was that important for you to champion during your big moment? Zendaya replied, it just feels like a lot of the time, especially for young Black people, you are birthed into a system that's not built for you. It is on us to take it from here and hopefully make it better. But it doesn't really look like that right now. And the people in charge don't like to listen to us. But it's important to lean into hope and lean into the beautiful things that I see my peers doing. Whether through their activism or through their art, it is extremely inspiring for me to watch and be a part of. I wanted to speak to the power of that and let them know what you are fighting for does mean something, and you are supported and seen. The next question, the significance of your win could easily be seen from the reactions across the internet, especially from young Hollywood. Your peers, like your Euphoria co-star Storm Reid and the Insecure cast, shared videos on social media of themselves screaming over your achievement. What did that support mean to you? Zendaya, I'm honored to have that support, especially from my fellow young Black creatives. Through this Emmys period, especially, I felt a strong sense of support within our community, which I am really grateful for. The next question, would you say that young Black Hollywood is continuing the sort of camaraderie that we've seen in the generations before you? Zendaya replied, I think what's slowly starting to happen is artists like Issa Rae and Lena Waithe have created opportunities that have resulted in more of us being in these rooms. That's such a special feeling, and I think it is definitely changing the idea that there can only be, quote unquote, one at a time, which is false. I love to see that genuine love and respect for each other's work. I hope that we continue to expand that in all kinds of beautiful ways, because I think we are on a really good path. Essence asked, you all make the future of Hollywood feel bright, which is why I love that your cover will be closing Essence's 50th anniversary year. It feels like a passing of the torch. What does this moment mean to you? Zendaya replied, I am incredibly grateful because without the incredible, iconic people who have graced the cover before me, I wouldn't be here standing on the shoulders of giants. To be able to do this cover at this time is really special to me. I also felt very excited that Essence allowed Law and me to be a part of the creative team and do something a little bit different. I had so much fun on this shoot paying homage to Danielle Luna, the first Black supermodel. A lot of what I do, especially within fashion, is a tribute to fashion icons who came before me, many of whom are Black women. I love the way it turned out. I am very proud of it. It is one of my favorite cover shoots I've ever done. The next question by Essence. When I think of the legacy you are creating, one of the first things that comes to mind is the all-Black glam team you maintain around you. Your team creates this space for you in the high fashion conversation that Black women don't always get to be a part of. How intentional are you when it comes to lifting as you climb and being cognizant of what you and Law are doing in fashion? Zendaya replied, that's always been important. Law teaches me so much about fashion history. It is really important to us to support young Black designers and Black photographers because the support usually just isn't there for them. A lot of smaller brands and designers were the ones that supported me before I was being dressed by bigger brands. There's rarely a look or anything that we do in fashion that doesn't have a story. Everything is done with intention. The next question that Essence asked was, another partner of yours is Euphoria creator Sam Levinson. You two were among the first to find a way to adapt and make a film, Malcolm and Marie, when the pandemic first shut down Hollywood. What was that experience like, and how did it help you cope with the quarantine? Zendaya said, it was a dream because I have always wanted to be able to just strip everything away. I love what I do, and like most people, I was finding ways to stay inspired and stay creative, and luckily, I know people who are the same way. It was great sitting in a room with John David Washington, Marcel Reeve, and Sam, literally writing scenes as we went, coming up with ideas as we moved through the characters and finding new things every day. That was the coolest part. That is why I do this. The next article is from the section She Speaks, and the title of the article is After the Rain, which is a book by Alexandra Ellie. After the rain, I am prepared for every ounce of joy making its way to me. The rain no longer scares me off. Instead, it draws me in to teach me something like the courage it takes to dance in it, the courage it takes to grow. I am prepared for every lesson on the horizon. My tears no longer exist behind heavy eyes. The dam has been broken open. I've given myself permission to rest and release, to be soft and strong and wrapped in ease, let the water flow. Let it wash over us like a prayer. My grandmother still prays for me, you know. I wonder if the spirit and my sorrow met in passing as Nana linked her hands and got me into a meditation with God about me. She knew I needed sacred covering. I am prepared for every blessing of a new day, each one a new life for me. Darkness no longer lingers. I trust that I am light enough to float through. Shadows do not make me. They show me the truth. My past was divine practice. It shaped me and showed me the proof. The next article is Zendaya Interview Part 2. Essence asks the question, I was very excited and maybe slightly jealous to see John David Washington was playing your romantic lead. You both are in such exciting places in your careers. Zendaya responded, I was just lucky to share the stage with John David Washington, who is brilliant. He is extremely talented and such a force. Being able to work across from him definitely pushed me to a better place. It was very special. The next question, you co-produced Malcolm and Marie, which was acquired by Netflix, and have joined forces with Reese Witherspoon to produce A White Lie, which you will also star in. Do you plan to become more involved behind the scenes? Zendaya said, I love being able to create what I want to see made. I'm also really interested in cinematography. Maybe I'll become a director or a director of photography. I am really taking in all the knowledge and learning as much as I can. I really love the art of actually making film. The next question, I have learned you and Leveson are also currently filming something for the Euphoria fans. Zendaya said, Sam and I talk a lot over the phone. And during one of those conversations, he was like, what if we just did a few little in-between episodes that we could put between the seasons, just to give people something? He wrote these beautiful episodes that actually stemmed from the scene he wrote for the second season that I was obsessed with. Then he basically turned it into one long episode. The storytelling method is so different from the first season. It feels like Euphoria, but feels nothing like Euphoria in a beautiful way. It talks about things specifically for Hunter Schafer's character, Jules, that I think have never been explored before. You get to sit with the characters in a deeper way. I was so excited to be able to get back to it because I miss playing Rue. Being able to get back into her chucks definitely was very, very special for me. The next question Essence was asking Zendaya was, I am fascinated by how art manages to thrive during the most adverse times. We are dealing with COVID, the Black Lives Matter movement, and more. But Black storytellers are still out here creating beautiful and nuanced work. Zendaya responded by saying, the level of creativity and ingenuity, especially in this time, is inspiring. Everything we are faced with right now, specifically Black Lives Matter, is traumatic. These are our brothers and sisters we are watching being murdered. I think to overcome that in any way and also to allow ourselves that space to have joy, to have beautiful things, to take care of ourselves, to look at each other, it is so important. Essence asked, it has also been encouraging to watch Black people win in the midst of a difficult year. But Black women especially tend to carry more guilt about that juxtaposition than most. Has that been something you have dealt with? Zendaya said, absolutely. I understand it entirely. I felt weird celebrating my Emmy win, and it was only a few days later that we heard the Breonna Taylor ruling, which was devastating. We are also often told not to celebrate our victories. I have seen a lot of tweets and stuff urging black women to be gentle with themselves. I have been trying to learn more about that and how I can help with that, because it really is so important right now. Essence questioned Zendaya. It's so layered, because while you may be feeling guilty, it is also true that your Emmy win gave us a sense of joy that I felt the community needed at that moment. It was nice to see everybody have something to celebrate on the timeline. Zendaya replied, yes, when I was in quarantine and Megan Thee Stallion dropped the quote-unquote Savage remix with Beyoncé, I've never felt more joy from a song coming out. Essence further responded by saying, ha, I was going to ask what has been bringing you joy. I love that the quote-unquote Savage remix is one of those things, because same. Zendaya said, seeing black women win in any form brings me joy. I was just looking at Rihanna Savage X Fenty fashion show, and I was like, you better, girl. Bad gal Rihanna is giving us what we need right now. Then there are also small things, like a conversation with my grandmother, who I have to call after this, because I keep forgetting. Hearing her voice is like food for the soul. The last question is, since this is the end of the year issue, what is your New Year's wish for black women? Zendaya responded, for us to continue to fully realize our power and harness it to great things, because we are incredibly powerful. We are often convinced that we are not, and taught to shrink, but we have to believe in our collective power. I always think of that Beyoncé song. They'll never take my power. My power, my power. Let's take that energy into the new year. The next article is titled, Love Was Not Canceled. Meet four newlywed couples who refused to let the coronavirus pandemic derail their trip to the altar in 2020. Here is how they made it work. The COVID-19 outbreak turned everyone's 2020 plans upside down, weddings included. But these four happy couples knew that forever could not wait. With no end to the crisis in sight, they chose not to push back their nuptials and instead found clever ways to walk the aisles anyway and celebrate their union with loved ones near and far. Kelsey Scott and Malik B. El Amin, Los Angeles, June 27th, 2020. Love on the go. Kelsey Scott, an actress and screenwriter, and Malik B. El Amin, a senior finance manager, met in August of 2019 and were engaged by that December. They planned to seal the deal on their whirlwind romance by exchanging vows at a rooftop wedding ceremony in Beverly Hills. Though the quarantine brought plans for their dream nuptials to a halt, their desire to start a life together as husband and wife never wavered. They shopped around for hotel venues from which to host a Zoom wedding, but underwhelmed by the choices, decided to say, quote-unquote, I do, from their living room. After some rearranging of furniture and a few floral arrangements, their home altar was complete. The cameras on two iPhones, an iPad, and a laptop were all rolling to offer as full a view of the proceedings as possible. And Malik's sister was present to managing all the technology. When everything came to pass, it was perfect, says Kelsey. We were home getting married in our space. We were in control of the elements. After their virtual ceremony was complete, the couple closed their devices and hit the town with their photographer, Maya Darasaw, for an epic photo shoot. Since they didn't have a wedding reception afterward, the after party became an adventure around Los Angeles, including a stop at the Last Bookstore in downtown LA, where they had their first date. Toward the end of their shoot, the twosome encountered a Black Lives Matter rally. The protesters, noticing Kelsey and Malik decked out in their wedding day garb, rallied around them in power and love. Looking back on the unforeseen circumstances that led to their Zoom wedding, Malik wouldn't change a thing. "No one wishes for a global pandemic to occur," he says. "Having said that, I cannot imagine any other wedding for us to have had." Catrice Kirk McKenzie and DeAnthony McKenzie, Waterloo, Illinois, July 11th, 2020. Going the distance. Pastor and regional trainer Catrice Kirk McKenzie, 38, and computer programmer DeAnthony McKenzie, 40, met on the dating app Bumble back in 2017. Arranging a ceremony this year, however, was not as easy as swiping right. The couple had planned to fly their entire family from the Midwest to New Orleans, a city they find magical, for a destination affair. Though a few venues caught their eye, DeAnthony persuaded his wife to wait before making a deposit. "I just didn't have a good feeling about the way things were trending with the pandemic," he says. Unfortunately, his suspicions were confirmed as the nationwide shutdowns went into effect in March, with mass gathering rules changing by the day. They decided their safest bet was pivoting to a micro wedding in Illinois, where they live. The McKenzies wanted a spacious yet charming venue, and Catrice knew just the place, the Old Balm Church in the town of Waterloo. This historic church, with its open roof and windows, combined the old world feel of New Orleans with ample storage footage needed for social distancing. Luckily, the church was available on July 11th, a date too lucky to pass up. With just 1 month to decide on wedding attire, food, and decor, the duo miraculously pulled together a dream day that exceeded all expectations. "I am just so happy we did it the way we did," says Catrice. "If there is something we learned from COVID-19, it is to not take life for granted, to hold the people you love so much closer and tighter. There was no reason to wait." Clarissa Johnson and Gordon Rosenberg, Chicago, May 24, 2020. Together at home, on May 25, 2019, 31-year-old social worker Clarissa Johnson and 30-year-old digital media manager Gordon Rosenberg got engaged in front of the Art Institute of Chicago. They had planned to get married there on May 24, 2020, with all their family and friends present. But things didn't turn out as they had hoped. With the coronavirus advisories changing every day, they considered moving their spring wedding to July, and then again to May 2021. "But we did not want to wait another year to celebrate our love after being together for 10 years, says Clarissa. "We decided to get married in our apartment on the original date." Clarissa had already put a gown on hold, but since all retail shops had shut down, there was no way to pick it up in time for her big day. Luckily, she had fallen in love with another dress she saw online. "I ordered it and it arrived a week later," says the bride. "The dress fit perfectly. It took a village to pull together the ceremony, which was held on the roof of the couple's apartment." Clarissa's mother and Gordon's father officiated, while the best man, Chandler, was on Zoom duty. Afterward, the newlyweds were greeted with mimosas, donuts, and cheers from friends and family who drove through with congratulatory signs. The duo's reception outfits were jerseys honoring Gordon's favorite player, the late, great Kobe Bryant. His number, 24, was beautifully symbolic of the nuptials date. Even though it wasn't exactly as planned, Clarissa says, our wedding was perfect. Ashley Sears and Enrique Sears, Dallas, August 8th, 2020. Unstoppable love. Ashley Sears, a 34-year-old flight attendant, and Enrique Sears, a 36-year-old project manager, got engaged in January of 2019 and had their sights set on a 2020 wedding. When the coronavirus crisis hit, Ashley was forced to take a leave of absence from flying due to her asthma. Now relying solely on Enrique's income, the couple realized that their original 100-guest fete might not happen in the way they had imagined. Our main focus was our health, says Ashley. We had to put the wedding on the back burner. As fate would have it, the couple got a major blessing thanks to Jewel O, founder of Touch of Jewel Events and Designs. The renowned Dallas-based luxury wedding planner teamed up with local vendors to gift one lucky couple a wedding worth $20,000. Ashley and Enrique sent in their video submission, which stood apart from all the rest. What really did it for us were the facts that Ashley was an essential worker and that Enrique couldn't bring his family in the Bahamas here to celebrate because of travel restrictions. Thanks to Jules O's vast industry connections, she was able to pull together a gorgeous fairy tale ceremony at the Westin Dallas Downtown Hotel. Vendors poured in with offers to donate everything from lighting to catering. All expenses were covered, and the wedding was live streamed for loved ones who could not attend. If I could do our wedding all over again, I would do it exactly the same, says the happy bride. Everybody got to experience the moment, and it made me focus more on our love and what getting married is truly about. Run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.